Okay, so we are holding on Kuf Dalad Amud Beis, a little bit past the middle of the Amud line begins Hashoitim. We discussed in the Mishnah various cases where a person writes on Shabbos, and even though he's written, and sometimes where because he's written two letters, he's chayev, and sometimes where even though he's written two letters, he's potter. So we're going to go through various cases like that. The Mishnah had said, kosav ois achas samach l'ksav, that if a person wrote one letter next to writing that was already there on the paper or the parchment or whatever, then we said he's potter. He now has, there's a lot more than two letters on the parchment over there, but he only wrote one. So the Gemara says, man tana, which tana says that? That would not be like Rabbi Eliezer at the beginning of the next perek. Rabbi Eliezer says, for example, that when it comes to weaving, if you have a cloth that's already partially woven and you add one new row to it, then Rabbi Eliezer would say you chayev, even though normally you need two, but he would say if you already have existing cloth and you add another one, then you only need one. One letter is enough, one row, one in that case, one row of cloth, one row of weaving is enough to be mechayev him. And the same thing over here, then one row, one letter would be enough. In effect, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that if he did part of the malacha before Shabbos and more of it on Shabbos, so that now it's more of a davar miskayim, then you'd be chayev. So our Mishnah doesn't go like that. Okay, we said kosav al gabei ksav. If a person writes over existing writing that's there, then we said he's potter. So mantana. Rav Chista deloike Rabbi Yehuda. So Rav Chista tells us that would not be like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, namely, we learn in a braisa like this. Suppose a person was supposed to, a sofer, is getting to a point in the Sefer Torah or Tefillin or what have you, where he's supposed to write Hashem's name. V'niskaven lichtev Yehuda. Instead, by mistake, he wrote the word Yehuda. But, or he intended to write the word Yehuda, but Tavala hit by Dalad. And by mistake, he didn't put the Dalad in it. So it comes out, he wrote the letter, he wrote the name Yudke Vavke, but not with the intention to write Hashem's name. Now, when you're writing Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzas, it has to be when you write Hashem's name, you intend to write it over there. So over here, you intend, Hareni Kosev L'Shem Kedushas Hashem. Here, he didn't do it because he intended to write the word Yehuda. So what does he do? Maver all of Kulmus of Akad Shei Divir Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says all he has to do is take the pen with ink and write over the existing letters that are there already. He can't erase them because they do form Hashem's name. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying he can write over the letters that are already there and this time have in mind that he's doing it for the kavana of Hashem's name. Divir Rabbi Yehuda. The Chum say that's not the proper way of writing Hashem's name. In short, in other words, they're saying it's possible and writing over the writing is not going to help anything. So applying that to here then, so Rabbi Yehuda would say therefore that writing on top of writing is considered writing. So therefore he would be mechayev, a person on Shabbos. Whereas the Chachamim would say it's not, would pater him. Rav Ashi Amar Afilu Teimer Rabbanon. Rav Ashi says not necessarily. You could even say that the Rabbanon, that we could even say that what you're saying here is according to the Rabbanon. You can even say that that everybody would agree with this, both Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, I'm skipping a few lines. So that's it. So therefore, our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. So our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda because Rabbi Yehuda would actually be mechayev him in that kind of case. Tosfos learns that we're talking about Davka if by writing again over the existing writing, he's improving it. For example, in this case, where he's giving it the Kedusha of Hashem's name, which it didn't have before, that's when Rabbi Yehuda would be mechayev him because he's actually accomplishing something by the rewriting. But Tosfos learns if he wasn't actually accomplishing anything with the rewriting, if he was stam writing over existing writing just for no particular purpose, then Tosfos learns that even Rabbi Yehuda would say he's potter. Other Rishonim disagree with that and say that no, Rabbi Yehuda would be mechayev him regardless. Okay. Tana, we learn in a braisa, kosav ois achas v'shlim al sefer. If a person wrote one letter and with that completed the sefer, so it was the last letter of one of the 24 sefarim, and it doesn't have to be the last letter, as in, let's say, the lamed of la'enei ko Yisrael at the end of Chumash. It could be, let's say, for example, there was a word letter missing in the middle of the sefer Torah, and he corrected it. So then, so that's something else. Then he's chayev. Or oragchot echad veishlim lebeged. Or if he wove one row in the cloth and completed the beged with that chayev, then he'd be chayev, even though it wasn't two letters or two rows. Mantana. Mandelo. Man Tana, so which Tana is it that says that? Amar Rava, or Rabba, it says on the side, Barav Huna, Rabbi Eliezer. So Rava or Rabba Barav Huna says, again, it would have to be specifically according to Rabbi Eliezer. That would specifically be according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Amar Achas Ala Orig Chayev, who says that if you have an existing partially woven cloth, and then you add one row to it, then you Chayev. So you see, Rabbi Eliezer can be Mechayev you even for one row. And so therefore, so this Braisa would be going according to him. That you added one row, or you added one letter, and you'd be chayev. Rav Ashi Yomar Filo Temer Rabbanon. Rav Ashi says not necessarily. You could say it goes according to the Rabbanon as well. Because Lahashlim Shiny. It's different when you're finishing up the cloth, or when you're finishing up the sefer, then they can be mechayev you for even one. Because then, in effect, they're being mechayev you more for Makav Patish rather than for Kosev or Oreg or what have you. So, interesting point over here, by the way. Rashi mentions that we're talking in one of the Chof Dalad Sfarim, which sort of implies that if it's not, if we're talking about Stam in a book, and a person adds one letter, not necessarily would that make him Chayiv. And in fact, the Minchas Chinuch says that that's exactly what Rashi means. When it comes to the 24 Sfarim of Tanakh, every letter is important because they're Torah Shebiksav. Therefore, if he adds even one letter, then that's enough to be that was missing over there. Then that's enough to be mechayivim. As opposed to when it comes to other sfarim, adding one letter, at least according to Rashi, would not be important enough. Oh, I didn't even notice you joined, Yaakov. Well, good morning. Then one letter would not be enough to be mechayivim with other sfarim. Okay. Amar Rav Ami. Kosav ois achas b'tveria v'achas b'tzipori chayiv. If a person wrote on Shabbos one letter in Tveria and one letter in Tzipori, which is another city nearby, then he would be, both of them are cities in the Galil, then he'd be chayiv. Because ksivahi elishamachos kriva. After all, he did write two letters. It was behelam echad, or even as we're going to see in the next Mishnah, according to the Chachamim, it can be b'shtei ha'alemis, and it doesn't matter. Because ein yudia lachatzi shir, as we talked about the other day. But anyway, the point is, he wrote two letters, so he's chayev. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? What do you mean? We said in the Mishnah, if a person wrote one letter on each of two walls of the house, or he wrote on two panels of a pincus of one of these kind of wax tablets that we described yesterday. So again, Rashi had said there's two kinds. You have one kind that fold open like a book, and then you have another kind that I made like a scroll. So the kind that I made like a scroll, if he writes one in one column and one in another column, then he'd be in neg and zamzer. If the letters cannot be read together, potter. So the same thing over here, a letter in Tveria and a letter in Tzipori are too far apart to be read together. Why should he be chayev? The answer is hosa mechusa maisa dekriva, hachalai mechusa maisa dekriva. Because the difference is, over there, you need to do a physical act to actually change something on the material that you wrote on. Namely, you'd need to cut away the parts of the house, you'd need to cut away the parts of the pincus, or whatever, in order to put the letters closer together and make them readable as one word. Here, it's not mechusam, hachalai mechusam maise dekriva. Here, you don't really need a maise, or you need to, you carry one of them from Tveria to Tzipori, or the other way around, and you put them next to each other, and they're readable as one word. So therefore, that would be enough to be mechayev. This is relevant as far as the question of playing Scrabble on Shabbos. Because you're putting tiles next to each other and then you're forming a word. On the other hand, the poskim seem to be okay with it because there it's different. You're not actually writing the letters are already written on the tiles. You're not writing anything new. You're just putting the tiles together. But a different point that comes out of this is the famous question of if you have a sefer that there are letters written on the edges of the pages. So when you close the pages, you see the letters, and when you open them, you don't. What would be the din with that? So actually, the Ramah takes a very hard line view of it and says it would actually be an isur d'oraisa of kosev or moichik to open and close such a sefer. And then the Taz has a long discussion and says that, come on, you can't say Chayv Chatas for that. And he brings from our Gemara over here that here it's kind of the other way around. He says, here the problem is the letters are already written, and we're saying that all that it takes is to bring one closer to the other, and therefore that's enough to be Mechayvim. Over there, the letters in effect already exist. They already exist on the edges of the papers. It just it's spread apart because the pages are open. So you can't say that it should be also. Adraba, there's no kosev and there's no moichik involved over here, says the Taz. Lamaisa, it's brought in the poskim bring. The Altadeva brings, for example, that you are allowed to do it, but lachatchila, if you have another copy of the same sefer, then just use that one. Because of the Ramah's long, hard line stance on it, right? It's very possible. If the Ramah's in Scrabble, he might have said the same thing. It could be. I don't know. All right. Anyway. Tana, we learn in a Braise, Higia ois achas chayev. If a person corrects one letter, in a Sefer Torah or whatever, then he's chayev. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? What are you telling me? We're saying that if he only writes one letter, then he's potter. He needs to write two letters unless we're saying it's the last letter of the sefer. What's the logic that if he only corrects one existing letter, that he should be, which is even less than writing, he should be chayev? The answer is, Omer of Sheshes, Hoch of Mayaskinen, Gunchen Notle, the Gagash or Ches, Vasoy Shne Zainin. The case is sort of the reverse of what we said in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we said that there was a case where a person intended to write a Ches and instead wrote two Zions, and we said he's Potter because the fact is he didn't mean to write two letters, which Tosfos points out, by the way. We're talking, even if we're not talking where here necessarily he needed to write a Ches, because then of course he's Potter. It wasn't his Machshava, wasn't accomplished. We mean even if Stam, he just has to write two letters, any two letters, and like this, he ended up writing two Zions instead of a Ches because he didn't put the roof of the Ches in. Nevertheless, he'd be Potter. So here we're saying the other way around, that there was a Ches over there. There were supposed to be two Zions instead. So he removed the top of the Ches, and now he has two Zions. That would be enough to be Mechayim. Now, an interesting point in that is that such kind of thing is called Chak Toichos. When you form a letter by erasing or scraping away rather than by writing, it's called Chak Toichos. And when it comes to Sifrei Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzos, usually we say that's Possel. Now, so the Rashba writes, based on this Gemara, apparently we're saying that it actually would be kosher, because we're saying he accomplished something. He was Magia, he created two Zions out of a Ches by scraping away the roof, and we're saying that it's considered writing. Therefore, evidently, Chak Toches is not a problem. Many other Rishonim disagree with the Rashba on that, and say, I think the Ran, I think, is one of them, I don't remember, and say that absolutely not. There's no question Chak Toiches is possible by Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos. All it is we're saying over here, the rules of writing on Shabbos are not necessarily the same as the rules for writing Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos. He can be Chayev, because the fact is, you have two Zions over here, and that is what is needed over here, and we're not even necessarily talking about one of them, not even necessarily talking about a Sefer Torah, or what have you. We could just be talking Stam a Sefer. Let's say, for example, an individual chumash, where there's the various rules of writing Sifrei Torah don't apply to it. So Chak Toiches is not a problem. So therefore, it is considered writing relative to Sifrei Torah. When you're writing an actual Sifrei Torah, that wouldn't work, and you would have to actually, if you had such a scenario where you needed to have two Zions, and by mistake you wrote a Ches, you would actually have to scrape away the whole thing and rewrite it. I had such a thing on my block minion the other day, where we had a Sefer Torah where there was a resh in it that was a little bit too long and looked like a langachov. And we asked a sofer about it after the fact. Can we just scrape away the extra part? No, that would be Chak Toiches. You have to scrape away the whole leg of this resh that looks like a langachov. Good morning, Avraham Moshe. You'd have to scrape away the entire leg, and you can leave the top, and then rewrite the leg. So it's a similar idea. Because if you only scrape... No, you don't have to erase the top part, because fine, once you erase the entire leg, then all you have left is the top part. That doesn't constitute a letter anymore. That you can keep, and then you can rewrite just the leg. But yeah. Okay. Fine. So that's an example. So that would be an example where Rav Sheshes says where a person is Magia and he's Chayev, even though he didn't write two letters, because he created two letters over there where two letters are needed. Rava Amak, Rava gives a different answer. Let's say he was Magia one letter, but he corrected the Sefer by that, in the sense that Rashi brings from a Gemara in Ksubas that a person is not allowed to keep around his house a Sefer She'enei Muga, a Sefer Torah, or a Sefer in general, that's not corrected, that has mistakes in it. Because Al Tashkin Ba'alacha Avla, you're not allowed to keep injustice, something not right in your house, because people are going to learn from that and think that's the correct Nusach. So the same thing over here then. So even though it was only one letter, but the fact is, by making that correction, he now makes a tikkun, and that now he's allowed to keep that Sefer Torah around, and therefore he can be chayev for that. Okay. Tana, we learn in a b'raisa, niskaven lichtav ois achas, if a person intended to write one letter, but olu b'yadushtayim, and he wound up writing two letters. For example, again, he intended to write a ches, and instead wrote two zayins, because he didn't put in the connecting part, chayev. So the question is, Vatnan Potter, what do you mean? Our Mishnah said he's Potter. The answer is like Kasha, Hod de Boise Yuni, Hod le Boise Yuni. It depends whether it requires tagim. Ziyunim means the little tagim on top of the letters, which are, they look like miniature Zions, therefore they're called Ziyunim, or does it not require? Now, what it is like this. The letter Zion is one of the letters in the Sefer Torah. Shatnez Get, so the letters in the Torah that require Ziyunim. So what we're talking about, when do we say he's chayev? So when is the Braisa saying he's chayev? If he'd written the two Zions with tagim, and then he intended to write the one letter ches, but he wrote the two Zions on the sides with tagim and all, and then he forgot to connect them with the roof. So now the fact is, he wrote two letters, he wrote two Zions, and they're complete, they even have their tagim. Whereas the Mishnah is talking about where they don't have their tagim, and therefore he's potter. So that's, again, Tosfos is saying that we have to be talking about that his kavanah was in general to write two letters without it being specific letters in mind. Now the difficulty with that is, the question basically is then, does that mean that the tagim on letters are ma'akiv? On the face of it, it sounds like yes, without the tagim, you don't have a complete letter. On the other hand, for example, the Rambam paskins, and this is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that you should put the tagim, but b'diavad, if you didn't, then it's not possible. Okay, then Shulchan Aruch, it says, I think the Rambam brings, that at least with the letters Shatnez Gets, if they don't have the tagim, fine. If you find in a Sefer Torah, let's say on Shabbos, that one of those letters is missing its tagim, you don't have to take out another Sefer Torah, but after Shabbos, you should correct it. Because there are Rishonim based on our Gemara over here who say that the tagim are, at least with the letters Shatnez Gets, are extremely important. But anyway, another way of looking at it, if we say that the tagim are not ma'akiv, then what it means is Hoda Boiziyuni, Hoda Le Boiziyuni just means does the person himself intend to add the tagim? Namely, for example, he's writing a Sefer Torah and the tagim are supposed to be there, versus he's writing some other Sefer where the tagim don't need to be there and therefore he has no intention of writing tagim. Okay. We said kosav oisachas nutrikun. We said if a person writes one letter as a nutrikun, as an abbreviation, so like he writes a letter with a tick above it, so it represents a longer word or it represents a number or whatever. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseder mechayev b'cham poter. Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseder says he's chayev b'cham seitz poter. So the Gemara says so now we're gonna talk about the concept of nutrikun in general. Nutrikun means abbreviations. So it can mean, you know, lahavda, like in English, we have abbreviations where you actually take the first letter of each word and you make a word out of it. And sometimes you have, and in English, you have abbreviations where you take part of one word and part of another word and put them together to form a new word. So the Gemara is going to mention examples of both those kinds of things in Lashon Kodesh. Amr in the Torah. Amr Rabbi Yechon and Meshum Rabbi Yosi ben Zimra, minayin the Loshon Nutrikun min haTorah, where do we see in the Torah the concept of Loshon Nutrikun, that such a thing is significant? Shenema, ki av hamoin goyim nesaticha. We find Hashem says to Abraham, you are going to be a father of many nations. Now, the point is, that what do we need the word hamoin over there? Av goyim nesaticha. So what is the hamoin adding for us, Marsha says. So therefore, we understand that the word hamoin, and once the word is meant to be darshan, and once we do that, then the word av is also meant to be darshan. So they tell us about different qualities of Avraham Avinu. Hashem is saying to him, av nesaticha la'umos, I have made you a father to the nations. Bochu nesaticha ba'umos, I made you a chosen one among the nations. Hamoin stands for choviv nesaticha ba'umos, the hey and the ches are interchangeable. So it means I made you the precious one among the nations. Melech nesatecha ba'omes, I made you a king. Vosik, I made you a very careful a person who was very onav and careful in mitzvahs nesatecha ba'omes, and nem nesatecha ba'omes, and I made you a trustworthy one among the nations. And we find in different psukim, all of these titles are applied to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is right there in the pasuk. It says Av Hamoyin Goyim. He's bochur because you have Asher b'charta ba'Avram. We say every day in davening. It's a pasuk from Nehemiah. Chaviv Nesaticha Ba'omis, you have the pasuk calls Avraham, Avraham Oyavi, Avraham who loved Hashem. So that's the Chaviv. Melech, as we find, they call him Nesi Alekimata Basechenu. Vosik, you find that Avraham himself was very humble, Vonerchi off of Efer, and he was very careful with mitzvahs, Ki Yadati Vlaman Asher Yitzave. And Nem Nesaticha Ba'omis, because you find Behemin Ba'ashem. Behemin Ba'ashem Ba'achshvei Lo'itzdaka. So you see that all of these qualities apply to Avraham Avinu, and the words Av Hamoyin are meant as an abbreviation of those six qualities. Okay. Rabbi Yechanan Didei Omer, that was Rabbi Yechanan quoted in the name of Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra. Now Rabbi Yechanan himself said, here's another thing in Torah, which is meant to be darshan as Nutrikun. Onoichi, the first word of the Aseret HaDibros. Nutrikun anon nafshi ksivas Yehovis. I myself wrote it and gave it. So on the surface, what it means is just that it means exactly that, that Hashem is saying. In other words, the point is, Maharsha says, what's the reason we're darshaning it is because it didn't have to start with the word anoichi. It could have started ani Hashem alekecha. So why anoichi? So therefore we understand that it's meant to be darshan. So one point of it is just it means that Hashem himself wrote and gave us the Torah. You have in thousands of places in Chassidus, it talks about the idea that it also means that Hashem, Kaviyachol, placed himself into the Torah. When we learn Torah, we're connecting with Hashem himself. We're connecting with Chachmosai or Ritzoinei Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which, as the Alter Rebbe is explaining in Tanya these days in Shai Yechid Be'emunah, is Hashem himself, because Chachmosai over Nasa V'dayte HaKol Echad. So Hashem literally placed himself into the Torah. That's Anon Nafshi K'savis Yehovis. I wrote my nefesh, my own soul, my own personality, Hashem says, so to speak, and into the Torah and gave it to you. That's Anoich. Rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan learn differently. They say Anoichi stands for Amira Ni'ima Ksiva Yehiva. The pleasant sayings were written and given. Maharsha explains the point is they want to say by that like this with Anon Nafshi Ksavas Yehovas. It means as the pasuk is describing that the luchas were written be'etz by Elikim. You're going to think that maybe it means literally Hashem has a finger. Which goes against the Yud Gimel Ikrim. So the Rabbanan instead are telling us that what it means is the pleasant sayings of Hashem, Ksiva Yehiva, were written and were given. In other words, like they wrote themselves on the luchas, kind of like the letters themselves went and were written on the luchas. So that way, like you don't imagine like Hashem literally has a finger with which he's writing it out. Ikadamri Anoichi Lamafreya, and then the Ikadamri, there are those who say that you can also understand the word Anoichi as an Etrican backwards. Yehiva Ksiva Ne'emonin Amoreha. It was written and given, its words are trustworthy, which means, Maharsha says, now we're talking, you have Torah Shebal Peh, so why didn't Hashem give all the Torah as Torah Shebal Peh? Why did he give some of it as Torah Shebichsav? Because that way it's more trustworthy, it's more reliable. What's written down is not so easily changed. Therefore we know that it came to us intact, as opposed to things Baal Peh sometimes can get changed or forgotten or whatever, or distorted over time. So according to this, the Ikadamri want to stress that the reason why Hashem gave us a Torah Shebichsav is to make sure that Ne'emon and Amorel, this way we know that everything in it is 100% trustworthy and reliable. We know how many, I didn't say that, Tosfos said that, but yeah, we know how many Gzeirah Shavas there are, that sort of thing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Another example of a Netrikun in the Torah, Dvei Rab Nosson Amri, we have when Bilam is going with his donkey to try to curse the Jewish people, and the Malach comes and stands in his way, so the Malach finally appears to Bilam and tells him, Ki Yorat HaDerech LeNegdi. The way was Yorat in front of me. The simple meaning of Yorat, Rashi explains on the Pasuk, means I saw that you were in a hurry, so therefore I came out to stop you, to prevent you for your own good, because Hashem doesn't want you to be going and cursing the Jewish people. But again, the question is, after all, we said Hashem gave him permission to go ahead. It's Adavar Asha Adabar Elecha Oisetase. So what is so? So therefore, again, so we see that the word is meant to be Darshan. It stands for Yorah Roasa Natsa. it saw, meaning the donkey saw the malach, because it saw the malach before Bilam did, as we see in the Psukim. Yara, it was fearful. Rasa, it saw, not saw, and it turned aside. So that's Yara, it stands for those words. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, and the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught, here's another nutrikun in the Torah, from which we actually learn a halacha, where it says Carmel, it says about the Korban HaOmer, that it's supposed to be brought from Carmel, which means fresh grain. What is Carmel? Carmole means a full pillow. Meaning, in other words, like this, when the grain is first harvested, it's very full, it's puffed up, like, not even puffed up, or whatever, it completely fills up the shells that it's inside. Then as it starts drying out, so it starts shriveling, and now the shell is not quite as full as it was before. The Korban HaOmer is supposed to be brought, the grain is still supposed to be fresh. Not that you first do, you have various things that are done to make it into the Korban HaOmer, but you start out by grinding it while it's still fresh, so that it's caramel, so that's caramole. Rabbi Achava Yaakov Omer, another example, you have a Nevi. Now, that's now an example from Nevi'im. David HaMelech, before he passes away, he tells Shlomo to take care, to deal with various people who have opposed David over the years and do something with them. It's an Haftorah, Parshas Vayechi. One of them is Shimi ben Gera, who had cursed David when he was running away from Avshalom. And the expression in the pasuk is, "Vahu kilolani klolan nimretzes," that Shimi cursed me with a strong curse. So Marshal explains, if al pi dikduk, the word should have been nimretza. Nimretzes implies that there's more than one. So what does it mean? The word nimretzes, therefore, is an atrikon. Noyefu, it means that Shimi is cursing out and criticizing David. He's a noyef, he's an adulterer because of the story with Bathsheba. We learned earlier in the Masechta, of course, that kol ha'im David chata in elatoya, but obviously Shimi didn't agree with that. So noyefu, moyovihu, he's a descendant of Rusa moyovia, so he doesn't even belong in the Jewish people. Retzeachu, he's a retzeach because of the whole thing with Uriah. Tsoru, who he's a troublemaker. Toevo, who he's a disgusting person. And those are all the things that Shimi is criticizing and cursing out David. Rab Nachman Yitzchok says, here's another one, back to Chumash. You have at the end of Parashas Miketz, manedaber o manitzadok. The brothers are saying, the brothers with Yehuda as the spokesman are saying to Yosef, what can we say? How can we justify ourselves? Look, you know, I mean, the cup, the silver cup was found in Binyamin's bag. So obviously, you know, therefore we have to agree that we're guilty and we'll all be slaves, etc. So the question is, again, what do you mean, manitzadok? Right after that, at the beginning of Parshas Vayigash, Yehuda goes and gives a whole long speech justifying themselves that you started up with us in the first place, balila basa aleinu, etc. So therefore, Rav Nachman Yitzchok says the word nitzadok is meant to be darshan as a nutrikun. Yehuda is saying, nechoinim anachnu, we are honest, tzadikim anachnu, we're tzadikim, tahorim anachnu, we're tahor, we're pure, dakim anachnu, which is another word for pure, as we learned yesterday, dechei is the Aramaic word for pure, and kedoshim anachnu, and we are holy. So in other words, you shouldn't be starting up with us. Okay. Okay, so those are all. So those are all examples of different places where we see that nutrikun is used in Tanakh. Okay.
Rabbi Alex, when it says ki Yarel had ki.
One second, Yaakov is asking something. Yeah.
When it says ki Yarel with the chamor of Bilam, the it says Yarel natata derech chamor is a masculine, and
this one was actually a female donkey. This one where the pasuk doesn't call it chamor, the pasuk calls it osain, which is a female donkey.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so that's why these things yara, rasa, natsa are in the feminine form. Yeah. Okay. No. So the bottom line is, again, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira is saying a person is chayav for writing one letter as a nutrikun, and the chum says potter. The halacha is like a chachamim. So one letter written as a nutrikun, he'd actually be potter. So that Shabbos, I think we figured it looks reasonably enough like a resh, but yeah, that's also true. Yeah, okay. Onward. The Mishnah says, "Hakosev beis osius b'shtei ha'alemus." If a person writes two letters in two ha'alemus, in two, so he knew that he's not allowed to. He forgot rather that he's not allowed to write on Shabbos. Then he wrote one letter. Then he remembered that it's Shabbos or that this is a malacha. Then he forgot again, and then he wrote a second letter. or achas shachas v'achas ben ha'abayim, or one in the morning and one in the afternoon. Rabbi Gamliel machayev, b'cham parit, and Rabbi Gamliel is going to say that he's chayev, as we talked about before, any idea l'chatzis shir, and the chachamim say he's potter. So Rashi says the point is, when we say echad shachas v'echad ben ha'abayim, it means even if there wasn't specifically a yediyah in between, since there was long enough time for him to have a yediyah, then Rabbi Gamliel would still be machayev him. Tosfos disagrees with that. Tosfos says that no, what it means is that what we mean is even if not only they were in two halemas, but one was in the morning and one was in the afternoon, so they're widely separated in time and they're in two halemas, even then Rabbi Gamliel is being mechayev him. Okay, but in any case, the chum pater him. So the Gemara says, my komifligi, what is the underlying machlokas? As we said before, a few days ago, Rabbi Gamliel sava en yediyah l'chatzi shir, v'rabbanan sava yesh yediyah l'chatzi shir. Rabbi Gamliel holds that when you, that the fact that you knew after writing one letter doesn't count, yediyah would only count to make a separate, would only count when it comes l'kula, to make a, to l'chumra rather, to make a separate chatas, not l'kula, like in this case, where you would say that it makes him potter from a chatas, because it wouldn't combine together the two things. Each one is only half a shir, and the yediyah of it doesn't count, and the chacham say yes yediyah lachatzi shir, the yediyah that he had in the middle does count, and therefore the fact that it was in two different yediyahs, and therefore it can't combine together. Okay, hadron alacha boina. Okay, now we're going to turn to the malacha of oreg and the various malachas that are related to that. Oreg is the weaving. So we're going to deal with that and a number of the other malachas that have to do with the weaving process. Why are we putting it in over here? The next malacha before Habona would be the next series of malachas before Habona would be the ones that involve Hatzod, where we had a kosev at the end of the previous perek. The next ones before that would involve the ones of trapping a deer and shechting it and so forth. And that we're going to deal with later on. In our perek. Actually, we're going to deal with that more in the next perek. We're going to learn it tomorrow, Bez Hashem. We're going to start talking about Sod, but we're putting in Oreg first because it's similar to Kosev in that the Shir is two things. Just like writing, the Shir is two letters, the same thing. Oreg, the Shir, we said, is weaving two rows in the cloth. So therefore, that's the similarity, and therefore the Mishnah puts it over here. That's true, but nevertheless, keep in mind, when you're doing the cloth, it's not like you're holding the thing and doing it gradually. You're throwing it through. You're throwing the shuttle through in one direction and then lowering the frame. And then you remember we described how the weaving process works. You're raising and lowering the frames or the sticks or whatever that the chassis strings are attached to, and throwing the aider back and forth between them. So it goes fairly quickly also, just like writing two letters. But whatever, the point is there's a certain similarity that you have two of them are needed to be mechayevim. So therefore, that's why this one comes next. Yeah, okay, but then we don't, because if you look on Daf Kuf Zayin and Kuf Ches, they're a bit long, but whatever. Okay, anyway, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, ha'orig shloisha chutin batchila va'achas ala orig chayev. Rabbi Eliezer says, if when it comes to beginning weaving the cloth, then you need three rows to be chayev, and if the cloth is already partially woven, then you need only one. Is enough to be mechayevim. Now, the girsa of Rashi that we have in front of us is that Rabbi Eliezer is not actually arguing with the Mishnah. In the seventh parak, we had the Mishnah that listed the 39 avos malachas, and it said over there, ha'orig shnei chutin. So Rashi, the girsa we have in front of us in Rashi, says that Rabbi Eliezer is not coming to argue with that. Now, Rabbi Eliezer is saying three or one, so where do we have two? But he's clarifying. Two would mean, in other words, if you already had some of the cloth woven, if you already had, let's say, one row of the cloth woven, and now you weave another one, then you're going to have two in your chayiv. Like we said before, he would say, in effect, that you're chayiv for doing half the malacha before Shabbos and the other half on Shabbos. On the other hand, on the side over here, it brings a girsa from the Marashal that says that actually Rabbi Eliezer is coming to argue with that Mishnah earlier. That the Mishnah earlier had said two, and Rabbi Eliezer is saying not two, but rather three or one, as the case may be. Three at the beginning and one if you're continuing an existing weaving. Yeah. Okay. The Chum say whether at the beginning or whether at the end, it's always two chutim, with the exception of what we said at the end of the previous perek, that if you have it, if it's the last one to finish the garment, then the Chum would agree is chayev. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Another one of the malachas is a person makes two botin nirin with the nirin themselves. Or we'll explain in a second what all this means. Bekirus, benafa or bakvara or basal with a kiros or with a sieve or a sifter or a basket, chayev. So in all those, he would be chayev. So it's like this. When it comes to regular weaving, so we explained that we described before that you have the purpose of a loom is you have to have that you're going to be able to pick up some of the threads without picking up other ones so that you can pass the eight of thread between them and weave back and forth. So there's various ways of explaining then what the that malacha consists of. Does it consist of Rashi learns earlier and over here that it means putting the chassis threads through the loops. So you can have, for example, there's a kind of loom where you have a frame. There's a kind of loom where you have a frame and you have all along the frame, you have going along it, you have strings with loops attached in the middle. So you have a loop in the middle and you have a string holding it up on the top and a string holding it up on the bottom, holding it up to the frame. And you have a series of loops like that, where eventually what you do is after when you're setting up the loom, you put all of the even numbered chassis threads through those loops, one thread through each loop. And then you do the same thing with the odd, you have another frame made the same way. You put all the odd numbered threads through it. And then what you do is you can raise and lower the frames. And that way you're picking up the even numbered threads or the odd numbered threads. And then you pass the eight of thread through back and forth. So that's one explanation of Oisa Shnei Batinirin. A different explanation of it that Rishonim say is it means making the actual loops themselves would be Oisa Shnei Batinirin. So whatever it is, the point is that so if a person makes the two batei nirin, the nirin, using the actual nirin themselves, the actual threads for the weaving or the loops for the weaving, a kirus is so we'll see in the Gemara is going to give us a definition of what kirus is, but then to understand what the Gemara means, we're going to have to deal with that over there. So we'll deal with that in the Gemara at the bottom of the Amud. A nafa, kvara, and a sal, a sieve, a sifter, and a basket, those are woven in the round. So there you have, we talked about this briefly a couple of times, where you have, then you'll set it, instead of having your chassis threads parallel to each other, instead you're going to have your chassis threads arranged in a circle, arranged like a star shape or something. And then you're going to weave in to start with, to hold them together, you're going to take a reed or whatever and weave it in back and forth, in and out, one going under and over and under and over, and then another one going the other way around, over and under and over and under, and that way you have you make like a braid that holds the pieces in place, and then you're going to weave the rest of it. So that the Mishnah is telling us that would be the Oisa Shnei Batei Nirin. Okay. So in all those cases, he's chayiv. And the Mishnah continues, va'atofa beis tefiras, also a person who stitches two stitches, va'akarei almanas lipa beis tefiras, and a person who rips with the intention of sewing two stitches. Now, the Gemara is going to ask, we already listed those as it was in the Mishnah, in the seventh parak, so why is the Mishnah mentioning it here again when it's not giving any more detail on it? So we'll see in the Gemara about that. Yeah, it sounds like just a repeat without a purpose, but we'll see in the Gemara. So the Gemara starts off. Ki osir Rabbi Yitzchok toni shtayim. When Rabbi Yitzchok came from Eretz Yisrael, he said that his version of the Mishnah goes as follows. That Rabbi Eliezer says, when we said in the Mishnah as we have it in front of us, is that if Rabbi Eliezer says when he's starting to weave, you need three threads, and when he's finishing and when he's continuing, you need only one thread. So Rabbi Yitzchok's version is that Rabbi Eliezer is saying two threads at the beginning. So the question is, what do you mean, Vahanan Tnan Gimel? We say in the Mishnah 3. The answer is, Loikasha Hobal Limi Hobiktini. It depends whether you're talking about thick threads or thin threads. With one of them, it's going to be enough two to be Mechayev and Mechon Shabbat Eliezer, and with the other one, you're going to require three. Now, which one is which? Amri Lola Hai Gisa, or Amri Lola Hai Gisa? You can understand it either way. Amri Lola Hai Gisa, so one way of looking at it is Alimi Tlosoloi Sasri Tre Sasri. One way of looking at it is you can say like this. When it comes to thick threads, when you're weaving using thick chassis threads and thick eight of threads, so then if you do only two, so three of them is enough to stay. It's not going to come unraveled that easily. But only two is going to unravel more easily because it's thick threads and therefore they're more likely to come out. As opposed to when it comes to thinner threads, two is going to be enough. You're going to weave two of them and they're going to stay in place. So according to that way of looking at it, when Rabbi Eliezer says in the Mishnah 3, he's talking about thick threads, and when Rabbi Yitzchak says that his Braisa says two, then it means thinner threads. But Amri Lola Haigi, so the other way of looking at it is the other way around. Tina Tlosi Yadiyah Trela Yadiyah. When it comes to thin threads, only when you wove three rows, only then is it noticeable. You've now made a noticeable difference in the garment. Two is not noticeable enough. Alimi tre nami yidi, but when it comes to thick thread, then even two of them are enough to make a noticeable difference, and therefore two would be enough to be mechayevim. Okay, so two different versions of what Rabbi Eliezer holds. Tana, we learn in a brisa. The brisa starts off by saying, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that if he starts weaving a cloth and weaves three rows at the beginning, the echad al arig, or if there's an existing woven part and he weaves another row on it, chayev, v'chamem ben betchila ben v'sayf shiuran bezchutin, v'cham say either way, the shiur is two chutim. There's two threads, two rows. Uba safa. Now, what about what happens if a person is weaving? What about if a person is weaving on a hem onto the garment? So Rashi describes that you do along the length of the shesi. The Erev goes back and forth across the shesi, but now you have at the end, you finish the garment, you make a reinforcement or something along the length, along what was the length of the cloth while you were weaving it. So if a person is doing that, beis chutin bereichav gimel bate nirin, then he would be chayev once he puts in two threads in the width of three bate nirin. Now again, the bate nirin are these loops that we're saying that are holding the shesi threads, holding the even numbered versus the odd numbered shesi threads. So once he weaves two threads in a width of three bate nirin. And that's enough to be mechayev him, even though, as we're going to learn on Amud Beis, when it comes to the regular weaving or weaving the Erev, there you need a larger width to be mechayev him. We say you need two chutim, but there's also a certain, the two chutim describes how much extra you're adding to the woven part of the cloth. But you also have a minimum shear in the width. How wide does the cloth have to be? How wide is it that you've put the Erev thread through to be chayev? But over here we're saying, when it comes to adding a hem, then you chayev for only the width of three batei nirim. Because what is it like? It's like, for example, when a person is weaving a narrow belt. In other words, the point is that you're weaving wide cloth, and therefore there's a certain minimum width, which we're going to learn on Amud Beis, how much a person needs to be weaving in order, the width, how wide the weaving is that he's doing in order to be chayev. But over here, where he's doing it for the sake of putting a hem on the garment, so then it would be the equivalent of what you do when you're weaving a small belt, and then three batei nirin width is enough to be mechayevim. Okay. That would be like when a person is weaving a small belt, which is two, he adds two threads to three batei nirin wide, because a narrow belt like that might only be, the whole loom might only be three batei nirin wide. So that would be enough to be mechayev him. Okay. It could be thicker strings. Yeah, it could be. Think of like the thin gartels that people wear on weekdays, for example. Those are pretty narrow. Yeah. Okay. So we said v'ha'orig gimel chotin b'tchila v'echad ala orig chayiv. So we said in the braisa that if a person weaves at the beginning three threads or in a continuation one thread, he's chayiv. Stomach. Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. So there we have a stam braisa that goes like Rabbi Eliezer, and then we have the chachamim would be the other chachamim who are disagreeing with Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah. Okay. Tanya Idach, we learn in another braisa, ha'orig beiz chutin ala gas. If a person weaves two threads on the gas, which gas means thick. So Rashi explains that you mean there's a lot of cloth woven already, and he adds two more rows to it. Vala imra, or on the hem of the garment. So here Rashi explains it's a little bit different than the hem we were talking about before. Here we're talking about when you begin weaving, you start with some other kind of material to use as like a decorative hem. Before we were talking about a hem that you're putting on to keep the cloth from unraveling. Here we're talking about more like a decorative hem. So you start with a different kind of material, or not even decorative. It could also be functional. Like you use a different kind of material in order to strengthen the hem. Like let's say you have a linen garment, you might use cotton thread around the edge for the hem. Anyway, so if he does that, chayev. So in that case, also with two strings, he's chayev. Rabbi Hananel has a different gears over here, not gas but gam. And he explains gamma is like the Greek letter gamma. Throughout Shas and in many other places, we use that to mean an L-shaped thing. There's no letter in Lashon Kodesh shaped exactly like that. So when the Chachamim want to talk about something at a right angle, they use the word gam to represent it. So he says, therefore, it means that, let's say, you're weaving around the edges of the garment, so like one here and one here, then he'd be chayev for two of them. Rabbi Yezer
says even only one. Over Safa Shnei Chutin Bereichav Shloisha Batinirin Chayev.
Again, when we're coming to the hem where he's sewing, on along the length of the shesi, then he'd be chayev even if it was only two threads on by the width of three batinirin. So here it's the opposite of the previous braisa. The stam braisa, the tanakama of the braisa, is the chachamim, and then you have Rabbi Eliezer disagreeing, as opposed to the previous braisa, where the tanakama was Rabbi Eliezer, and then you have the chachamim disagreeing. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, ha'oisa beis batin nirin chola. We said if a person makes two batin nirin, then he's chayev. So we said if he makes them benirin, so what does that mean? My benirin. Amar Abaye tarti b'batin nira b'chod benira. It means two in the batin nirin and one in the nira. Now what does that mean? There's a lot of different explanations among Rishonim what that means. And what Rashi is saying over here is a little bit hard to understand also. One way of understanding Rashi is that what he means is that You have these frames. You have these frames with the loops in them. Or sometimes you also have you can also have a kind of loom where instead of having frames, you have two sticks. Where each one you take a thread and you tie it to each one of the chassis threads and loop. So one end of that thread is looped around the stick, and the other end is looped around the chassis thread. And the same idea. In other words, once you have all the even numbered chassis threads are attached like that, and all the odd numbered chassis threads are attached to a different one. Same idea. You can raise and lower the sticks and have and create your space between the chassis threads to put in the Erev. So one way of understanding Rashi is that what he means is that you're putting two Shesi threads into the loops, and then you're putting one of them between the loops from the other one. Because remember, each of the even numbered ones, for example, go through the loops of one frame and then they go through the spaces of the other one. So then that's one way of understanding Rashi, is that's what it means. In other words, if you put in two chassis threads through the loops, and you put one of those through the space between the loops on the other frame, so you put one even numbered one in the even numbered frame, one odd numbered one through the loop in the odd numbered frame, and then let's say you take the even numbered one and put it through the space between the two loops on the odd frame, then that would be enough to be mechayvim. That's one way of understanding, and then there's a half a dozen other different ways that Rishonim have of understanding it. It means making the loops and attaching them to the frame, whatever. Okay. We said Bekirus. We said a person is also chayv if he makes the two batinirin in a kirus. My Bekirus. Amarab Matsuvisa. It means Matsuvisa, which what is that? So Rashi explains like this, that you have, again, you have the kind of loom which is made with a frame, as opposed to the kind that we were talking about just now, which involves sticks. So therefore, so with a kirus would be the frame where you're setting up the loom using these frames, and then therefore, so the Mishnah is saying you're also chayev setting it up that way. So you're chayev with the kind of loom that involves sticks. With strings tied to them, which hold the chassis threads in place. You're also chayev for the kind where they go through loops in the frame. So however you're setting it up, that the chassis threads, that the even versus odd numbered chassis threads should be placed, you're going to be chayev. Okay, we said about tofer based tefillos. We said a person sews two stitches is enough to be mechayev him. So we said, so what do we need that? Hotanein of Abbas Malachas, Vatofa based fetus. In the list of Abbas Malachas, we had a person sews two stitches. So we know already a person is chayiv for that. What is the Mishnah adding over here? The answer is, you're right. That in and of itself, we don't need, but Mishum de Kaboyla Misni Sefer. But because the reason why we're saying it is because the Mishnah wants to continue, Vakarea Amanas Litra based fetus. the Mishnah wants to continue, where he rips in order, where he rips for the purpose of sewing two stitches. So therefore, the Mishnah mentions together the sewing and the ripping. It's not that actually. It's the light behind here is the light behind here is very distracting. Okay. So the reason why it's mentioning Teufer is just as an introduction to Kireya, that when a person rips two, that when a person rips out two stitches in order to re-sew, that he's also chayav. So the question is, so therefore it mentions sewing in order to mention ripping with it. The question is, Honami Tanena Babas Malachas. We also said in the Abbas Malachas, we said Akirei Amanas Litvar State Fears. So we mentioned already that a person rips in order to sew two stitches, he's chayev. So why do we need to mention that again over here? And you're saying because of that we need to mention Teufer? So no. No, because the Sefer, the next Mishnah on Amud Beis, is going to say is going to talk about cases where a person tears his clothing because he's angry, or he's tearing kriya because of a mess, where then we're saying he's potter. Therefore it mentions sewing two stitches, so it's not so much that the Mishnah needs to tell us about the din that sewing two stitches or ripping out two stitches is chayev, but rather we're contrasting that with where a person rips in, where a person rips not for the purpose of sewing, but for a destructive purpose. Then he would be potter, as we'll see on Amud Beis. We said v'akarei amanas litvar shtei tefiras. We said a person rips out two stitches in order to sew two stitches. So the question is, hey chimashkachasla, how do you have such a, why would a person rip out two stitches just in order to sew them back up? The answer is da'avdi kikissa. Let's say he sewed it to begin with wrongly and it came out like a pocket. Sometimes you have. You sew and you do a bad job of it and it comes out, you have the cloth, instead of being smooth, you sewed it so that it got buckled in one place. And therefore you have to rip out the stitches and then stitch it out again and then stitch it properly. So that would be the kind of thing a person is chayav for then. Okay. Mishnah says, Hakereya b'chamosay, if a person rips his clothes or whatever because he's angry, v'almesay, or he rips because of a mess, v'cholam akalkalin, or anybody else who does a malacha in a destructive way, not for a constructive purpose, turin, all of them are potter. On the other hand, if a person is doing a kilkul in order to fix, like we just gave the example, he rips out stitches in order to fix, and then the shear of it would be the equivalent of how much he'd be chayev for fixing. So for example, we said with the ripping out stitches, he's chayev for two because he's chayev for sewing two stitches. When we say amanas l'saken, does it have to be that he's actually ripping it out for the purpose of re-sewing it, or is it enough that he's ripping it out for some constructive purpose, even if he's not planning to sew it back up? What? Well, not even to sew it up right now. The question is, sometimes you can have, he rips it for some other constructive purpose where he's not planning to re-sew it back up, but there's a particular reason why it needed to be ripped. It's not just makalko. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Shir hamalabin v'hamanapitz v'atzeveya v'hatoiva. We mentioned in the Mishnah of Avos Malachas, we had a number of malachas that are related to the whole weaving process. Malabin, which is bleaching the wool or whatever it is. V'hamanapitz, combing it out so all the fibers lie straight next to each other. And then you're able to spin them into thread. V'atzeveya, and dyeing. Dyeing it a color. V'hatoiva, and spinning it into thread. So all of those, the shear that he's chayev kim lo roichav asit kofel. All of those he's chayev for the width of a double sit. Combing your hair, we learned before, might be also, we learned before that it might be also on the grounds of boina, like you're arranging the hair in its proper place. Menapitz would be, Menapitz would really be more when it's Menapitz is really more that you're combing it out, you're separating it out, and you're getting it. That's we talked about also. There may be the possibility that hair, no, because we said the Dovah Sheni Miskaven is mutter, and the halachas like Reb Shimon, the Dovah Sheni Miskaven is mutter. So, and then you don't mean for hair to come out, but yeah. So you're allowed to. I think it says you're allowed to with a soft, but okay, that's yeah. Okay. What is a roich of a sit kofel? So like this. So
So Rashi explains like this. A sit is the distance between the middle finger and the index finger when you stretch them out as far as possible is called a sit. So twice that would be a sit kofel. The Rambam actually, so we'll learn the rest of the Mishnah and then we'll talk about the Rambam has a bit of a different definition of it. If a person is weaving two threads in a cloth, like we said before, then the shear that he's chayev is a full sit, meaning just one time between the index finger and the middle finger. So according to Rashi, Meloy Hasit and Roichav Hasit are the same thing, and just kofel means a double, means twice as much. The Rambam learns it differently. He learns that a sit is the distance between the thumb and the first finger when you stretch them out as far as possible. And second of all, he also learns. So he writes that this is a sixth of a zeres. It comes out to half a tefach. And also he explains that roichav asit and roichav asit and meloy hasit are not the same thing. Roichav asit would actually be, according to the Rambam, two tvachim, and roichav asit kofel therefore would be four tvachim. So according to him, you have a much bigger difference. According to Rashi, it's only a difference of twice as much. You have a meloy hasit versus twice meloy hasit. Whereas according to the Rambam, you have a huge difference because you have a half a tefach versus four tvachim, eight times as much difference. Okay, we'll talk about that more in the Gemara tomorrow, Baruch Hashem. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. Uraminu, I have a contradiction. So you're telling me in the Mishnah that if a person rips his clothes in anger or for a mess or whatever, then he's potter. But a Braisa says, Akareya b'chamasai, if a person rips his clothes in his anger on Shabbos, over evloi, or in mourning, va'al mesoi, or for a dead person, chayev. So in all those cases, he's chayev. Va'afal pisha machalos haShabbos yotzi yidei kriya. And by the way, the Braisa says, even though he was machal haShabbos, nevertheless, he's still yotzi the mitzvah of kriya. Now, how could he be yotzi? Isn't it a mitzvah abar ba'avera? So the Yerushalmi asks that question, there's a couple of different ways of explaining understanding the answer. One is that it's a gavra versus cheftza thing that you have. In other words, that when the Yerushalmi asks, let's say, for example, if a person steals matzah and eats it on Pesach, he's not yotze. So why over here would he be yotze if he rips his clothes on Shabbos when he wasn't supposed to? So one answer is it's a gavra versus cheftza thing. There you have the cheftza, the object of the mitzvah itself was stolen. Over here, the object is not the cloth that's torn. The mitzvah is on the gavra that he has to tear his clothes. So therefore, okay, he was over, but nevertheless, the clothing is still torn, and he still accomplished what he needed to, even though he did it with Chilul Shabbos. Tosfos discusses another answer that comes down to, could he have accomplished the mitzvah without doing the savera? In the case of matzah, no. If he didn't steal that matzah, he wouldn't have any matzah to eat. Over here, he could have just as well done the kriya on a weekday, which wouldn't be an issur. So therefore, we can say that he's yotze even on Shabbos. Okay. Anyway, the point is that the Braisa is saying that he's chayev, whereas the Mishnah had said he's potter. So the answer is, like kasha, hoba mesti day, hoba mesta alma. The difference is it talking about his own mess, his own relative, or is it talking about somebody, or is it talking about some other person that he decided to tear kriya for? So the Braisa would be talking about his own mess. He has a chiyuv to rip kriya, so therefore we can't call it mekalkel, as opposed to the Mishnah would be talking about Stam. He heard that somebody died and he ripped kriya. So therefore, so that he would be potter for, because that's mekalkel, because he doesn't have a mitzvah to tear kriya. So the Gemara says, why not? Not necessarily. First of all, what do you mean? Both the Mishnah and the Braisa use the word meisoi. How can you say the Mishnah is talking about somebody else's mess? So the answer is, okay, la'olam amesti day. Okay, so we are talking about a relative of his own. But we're talking about, let's say, the ones that he's not chayev to prava avelus for. So let's say, for example, a person's grandfather passed away. He doesn't sit shiva for him. He's not required to tear kriya for him. But so therefore, so the Mishnah would be saying, if he tore kriya for him anyway, then he'd be potter. Because he's not required to do it. The Braisa, what are you talking about? Where he tore kriya for his father, let's say. He was required up yalacha to tear kriya. Okay. So the question is, even when it's not somebody who's a close relative, sometimes he has a chiyuv of doing kriya anyway. So if the person who died, let's say his grandfather, was a great tamen chacham, then he is mechuyuv anyway to rip kriya. The Tanya, as we learn in a braisa, chacham shemesa kol kreivav. We learn in a braisa that when a chacham dies, everybody are his relatives. What do you mean? Kol Krei Rus Agudat? What do you mean? Everybody is not his relatives. If he left a nice size Yerusha, they'd probably like to be his relatives, but the fact is they're not. So what does the Braisa mean? Ela Ema HaKol Kikrei Rav. It means everybody has to act like his relatives. HaKol Korin Olav, everybody has to rip Kriya for him. HaKol Choltin Olav, everybody has to bare their shoulder. This is something we don't do it nowadays, but in the times of the Mishnah and the Gemara, they would do as a simon of Avelos, they would take their arm out of their sleeve and leave their shoulder bare. We don't do that nowadays. We don't have those kinds of garments, and yes, so we don't do that nowadays. But I call Mavrin Olav Barachava, and everybody does the Sudas Havra for him in the public square, which is the first Sudah after the burial, after the funeral. The Oval himself is not allowed to be eating his own food. Other people have to provide for him. And the Minig in those days was that they would make that first meal in the Rechava in the public square. What? Oh, it was in Perakah HaRamam yesterday? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the point is, so we see therefore that if a chacham passes away, everybody has to rip kriya for him. So let's say therefore that this person who passed away was a chacham, then you are required to rip kriya for him. So how can you say that? How can the Mishnah then be saying that he's potter and we're saying it's talking about where he doesn't need to? Okay, so the answer is the lav chachamu. Okay, so the Mishnah is talking about where the person who passed away was not a chacham. Therefore, you don't have that requirement. Okay, what about though the e adam kosher who chiyuv mechayev? Okay, but at least if the person was an adam kosher, aren't you required to rip kriya for him? An adam kosher basically means a person who, he's not necessarily a tamen chacham, but yeah, he's an erlich yid. He's an erlich yid. He does mitzvahs. We don't know him. We don't know that we don't. We're not suspecting him of having done any averus, etc. Yeah. So an erlich yid. So then chiyuv mechayev. Then you're also chayev. The Tanya, Mitanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Mipnei Ma Mesim Bonim of Noisav Shal Adam Ketem Tanim. Why does it happen, Rachman Al Tzan, that a person's young sons and daughters pass away? Mipnei Kadesh Yivka Bisabal Al Adam Kosher. The reason is in order that he should cry and mourn when an Adam Kosher passes away. The Gemara says, what does that mean? Kadesh Yivka Ervoina Shaklimine. What is Hashem taking a pledge from him? Like Hashem is going to say, your child's going to die now, so that later on, a month from now, when an Adam Kosher passes away, you'll mourn for him. That's not how Hashem works things. Ella, no, what the Braisa means is because in the past an Adam Kosher passed away and he didn't cry and mourn for him. So therefore Hashem can punish him in that way. We learned back in the second parak of Ramasechta, we had a whole sugya that talked about various reasons why Bonim of Noisav Mesim Shem Kanim. We didn't mention this one. So Mephoshim explained that what the Gemara is saying over here is that sometimes you can have a person is meant to be punished, that you can have, if he was Boichu Misabal Al Adam Kosher, then he wouldn't be getting any punishment at all, because he did the right thing. Heyos he didn't, then Hashem can choose that the punishment, which he anyway needs for other Averis, might be accomplished through this. Anyway, the Braisa continues, Shekola Boichal Adam Kosher, anybody who does cry when an Adam Kosher passes away, Moichlin Layar Kolav Enosav, Bishvil Kovet Shasa. Hashem forgives him for all of his Averis, because of the covet that he did. So therefore, so you see that even an Adam Kosher passes away, you're supposed to rip Kriya. So the answer is Lot Sricha Delab Adam Kosher. Okay, so we're talking about that he wasn't, the person who passed away wasn't necessarily an Adam Kosher. He had, he's been known to do Averus, or he's been known to be lazy with mitzvahs sometimes or whatever. By the way, of course, a Chacham by definition is an Adam Kosher. So why do we mention separately? Why do we first mention a Chacham and then an Adam Kosher? So the difference is that a Chacham, you're required to do this Kriya and all these other things for whether you actually were there or whether you're even in a different city or whatever, as opposed to an Adam Kosher only if you're there in the same city. There are, by the way, many Rishonim learn that the Gemara actually does not mean in the end that you're required to. The fact of the matter is you don't see. I mean, nowadays, you know, if we had to rip Kriya every time an Adam Kosher passed away, our clothes would be full of rips. So they say, I think the Ramban brings, for example, it doesn't mean you absolutely required to. The Gemara is saying it's a good thing to do. But the point is, at least, because we're saying that way, you know, Mokel and Layar Kol Venosev. So therefore, in other words, the Gemara is asking that at least therefore it should be considered a constructive act, but not that he's actually required to Abi Alacha, and the Minig nowadays is taken not to. So I didn't look, but the idea is, I guess, because he gives cover to the Adam Kosher, and like he's saying, okay, even though he wasn't a Tamar Chacham or everything, you know, he could have been more than he is. Nevertheless, I'm still going to give him covered. So therefore Hashem, like, is so to speak, willing to overlook, isn't it? Okay. Yeah. Right. Okay, anyway, so the question is, the Gemara says, okay, but another case. What if the person is standing there when, what if you're standing there when the person's neshama leaves, when the person passes away? Also chiyuv mechayev, then also you're chayev to do kriya. The Tanya, Rav Shimon Elazar, ha'oymed al mes b'shas yitzias neshama, if a person is standing by a mess, when his neshama leaves him, chayev l'kriya, then he's chayev to do kriya, ha'ola mazadoyim, because what is this like, let's say, for Todosh and Nisrafa? It's like a Sefer Torah that got ruined. Every year is like a Sefer Torah. But for one thing, because he could have learned more Torah, and now he doesn't have the opportunity to. So the fact is, when you see a Sefer Torah getting burnt, then you also have to tear Kriya. We learn that from Sukkim involving Yehoyakim. So Rashi actually says, there's no Ein Lecha Reik Be Yisrael She'ein B'Torah Mitzvahs. There's no completely empty person by Jewish people who doesn't have some Torah and Mitzvahs. Therefore, he's like a Sefer Torah, and you have to whip for him. So the answer is, okay, so you're talking about the Mishnah is talking about he wasn't actually there at the time of Yitzias Neshama, therefore he's not actually required to rip. So we're talking about it again. So we're talking about, let's say it was Mesa, it was a relative of his, let's say his grandfather, but he wasn't a Talmid Chacham, he wasn't an Adam Kosher, he wasn't actually there when he passed away, therefore he's not obligated to rip Kriya, and therefore if he does, then the Mishnah is saying he's Potter. Okay. So then the question is, Tenach Mesoi. Okay, so that explains the case where the Mishnah is saying he tears Kriya because of his mess. What about El Chamosei Chamosei Kasha? What about though? The Mishnah had mentioned that he rips his clothes in an angry potter. And the Brai said that if he rips it in his anger, he's chayev. There you don't have. He's not obligated to rip it in his anger. So what's the difference over there? The answer is like Kasha. The answer is Chamosei, Chamosei. Nami like Kasha. Horab Yehuda, Horab Shimon. Then we would say it's Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Shimon. Horab Yehuda da'ama malacha shein tzricha legufa chayev aleha. Horab Shimon da'ama malacha shein tzricha legufa potter aleha. So the Mishnah would be according to Rabbi Shimon that he's potter because now he's not doing it legufa. He's not doing it for the sake of the ripping. He's doing it for some other purpose in order to let out his anger or whatever. As opposed to the Braisa, what are you talking about according to Rabbi Yehuda that he'd be chayev. So the question is, and then we'll finish off. Okay, we find that Rabbi Yehuda says that when you're correcting something, when you're fixing something. So he would say, Malacha Shein Tzrich LeGufa, where you're doing something constructive, you're still chayev. You put out a lamp, for example, because you want to save the oil. Then you'd be chayev because you are doing it for a constructive purpose to save the oil or many other examples that we have. But the mekalkel mishamethle, where do you ever find that Rabbi Yehuda would say that about mekalkel and over here you're being mekalkel? The answer is amar abav and hainami misakin who dekaavid nachas ruach liyitzrei. The answer is, but he is being misakin in the sense that he's doing something to benefit his yetzahara. His Yetzirah is getting him angry, and therefore he's reacting by whipping. So even though he's also to do it, as we're going to discuss tomorrow in the Gemara, that's also to do that. But nevertheless, the fact is he's still relative to his own Yetzirah, he is accomplishing a tikkun, and he is doing something positive for his Yetzirah, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda would not consider him a kalko, but rather a masakin and be mechayvim. Whereas Rabbi Shimon would say he's malach hashen, it's rich legofa, therefore he's butter. Okay.